Today's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by Mel Gibson's new line of South American anti-Semitic liquors, including the award-winning Pog Rum and Tequila Savior. So when you're celebrating the conclave finally electing a pope from the continent where all the Catholics live, be sure to celebrate with pure grain alcohol cost denial. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
What do you think they mean when they say women's rights? The right to rebel and disobey your husband? The right to go out and get a job and make your own money? The right to go vote for our leaders as if women should have any say in how our country is run?
This is Hemant Mehta from The Friendly Atheist, and we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey men.
Thursday, it's March 14th, that's Pi Day, and I'm kind of wishing we'd recorded the headlines the day after they elected the new pope rather than the day before. I'm your host, No Illusions, and from hedonistic New York, New York, this is The Scathing Atheist. On this fortnight's episode, heaven-bound Christians inexplicably buy health insurance. We'll find a bishop who finally decided to prick on somebody his own size, and we'll get the too-soon clock started on Dwayne Gish jokes. But first, the diatribe. Alright, so when it comes down to it, Jesus was a pretty alright guy. That's true whether he existed or not, atheist or no, I can admit that. You know, I'm not a big fan of Superman comics, but I can admit that Superman's a pretty alright guy. He's actually way more pretty alright than Jesus, but that's beside the point. By the standards of today, Jesus is a totally amoral jackass, but it's not fair to fault a historical figure for the immorality of his time. I mean, as long as you don't go claiming he's the divine incarnation of an omniscient being, you have to forgive him for not seeing 19 centuries ahead on things like gay rights, gender equality, and capital punishment. Hell, at least 50% of the major political parties in the U.S. haven't figured that shit out yet. So if you set aside all the Son of God shit, and you think of Jesus as an at least mostly fictitious guy with impeccable morals, a timeless message of universal love, and a scraggly hippie beard, it's pretty hard to find fault with him at all. If Christians were just people who applied the moral message of Jesus and set aside all the deific douchebaggery, it'd be really hard to bitch about him. But none of that matters. It's an academic argument because Christianity has nothing to do with the moral teachings of Jesus. They talk about him a lot, they sing songs about him, and they wear his murder weapon around their neck, but they've all but given up on the whole message. Sure, you can trot out a Christian that follows the examples of Christ most of the time, but I can trot out an atheist who does the same. And when I do, there's going to be two Christian ass danglers following behind him yelling about how he's going to burn in hell. Sure, you can point to a humanitarian effort that was spurred on by Christians following the word of Christ, and I can show you a secular equivalent that's spurred on by common sense and a basic feeling of humanity. And when I do, they'll be the ones offering help to everybody, even if they don't swear allegiance to the right space wizard. Sure, you can point to a Christian influence in almost every great social movement in American history, but I can also point to a Christian influence in the opposition to every great social movement in American history, and when I do, it's going to be hard to ignore the fact that my group's 1,200 times bigger than yours. The truth is, Christianity is just a word, and Jesus is just a name. The modern American Christian doesn't worship anything about Jesus except his muscle tone. In fact, if you look at the issues that seem to enrage Christians, you could be forgiven for thinking that Christ spent most of his time talking about gun rights, abortion, condoms, stem cell research, capitalism, violent video games, masturbation, gays, pornography, and masturbating to gay pornography. Oh yeah, and something about feeding poor people to lions or something. I don't really remember. You think about it. You got this guy here, he's chocked full of good parables, forward-thinking morality, miraculous alcohol-making, and unassisted water skiing. They glaze over all this good shit, and they obsess over the 0.16% of the Bible that deals with their savior getting brutally tortured to death. So what exactly did Jesus say about gays? Well, nothing, actually. He did say something about loving the least of God's children, but nothing about gays. What did Jesus have to say about the right to bear arms? Well, there were no guns at the time, but I seem to recall him being anti-stoning. What did Jesus have to say about capital punishment? Not really sure, but I'm willing to bet that towards the end of his life he was against it. What did Jesus have to say about video games and stem cell research? What do you think he had to say? They didn't fucking exist. But what did Jesus have to say about abortion? That's something that absolutely, positively, undeniably did exist way before Jesus ever reverse-popped his mommy's hymen. Turns out he completely forgot to mention how against it he was. Luckily, there were people like Pat Robertson there to pick up where Jesus left off. So you can talk about Jesus all you want, but don't invoke him when you're trying to justify your religion. Jesus doesn't need your dumbass religion to be a decent guy. I'm a big fan of Thoreau, but I don't need him to be the son of God, but actually a wafer in order to follow his moral philosophy. In fact, I think it's about time we officially retire old Jesus altogether. He was kind of a pussy anyway. What modern Americans need is an ass-kicking, name-taken version of Jesus. They need a guy who would only turn the other cheek if he was setting up a spinning roundhouse kick. They need a karate Jesus that has a utility belt and banters well with supervillains. They need a nunchuck-toting Jesus that ignores poor people, embraces trickle-down economics, hates fags, smokes Marlboro Reds, and always has a good one-liner before he takes out a motherfucker. In other words, they need an American Jesus. I mean, if you're going to completely ignore the moral underpinnings of your religion, why not go all the way?
Love me some Jesus, yes I do. He died on the cross for my IOU. He's a lean, mean Nazarene fighting machine. He took the money changes from the temple, kicked him in the spleen. He said, pal, get out, don't make me shout, bitch. I usually turn the other cheek, but I'm liable to switch. He said, you're full of flab, you usurious clod. I got six-pack abs and I'm the son of God. Oh, I love me some Jesus, yes I do. He's a bad motherfucker, thought you knew. Back in the Jurassic wrestled dinosaurs, that's why you don't see him around anymore. He said, kapow, took out Tyrannosaurus. He's a bearded badass, make you forget what's his name, Norris. He was slick and quick, impossible to capture. Took the dinos up to heaven in the Velociraptor. Cause he's American Jesus, eats unleavened grilled cheeses, and he'll tear you to pieces with his sword. American Jesus, man, he'll cure your diseases, or he'll kick your mortal ass for the Lord. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh, I love me some Jesus, yes I do. No doubt that he's my favorite Jew. On the day he was born was an extra star in the skies. Three dudes came up to visit, every one of them wise. They brought him gold and myrrh and frankincense. Seems like weird gifts for a baby, but to them it made sense. One was black, one brown, the other vaguely Asian. But don't worry, cause Jesus was a regular Caucasian, yeah. Cause he's American Jesus, eats unleavened grilled cheeses, and he'll tear you to pieces with his sword. American Jesus, man, he'll cure your diseases, or he'll kick your mortal ass for the Lord. Oh, he's America's Christ, man, won't it be nice the way they crucified him once, but he'll come back twice. He's America's God, and whether you're a sinner or not, he'll make you holier if it's only when your ass gets shot. He's America's Messiah, unless my uncle was a liar. His eyes can shoot out lasers and his fingers summon fire. He's America's Savior, and it's risky behavior not to take a knee right now and let him save you. Soul. Oh Lord, amen.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me tonight for headlines is my partner in crime, Heath Enright. Heath, are you ready to aid and abet?
I am ready.
All right, in our lead story tonight, America's 15th largest megachurch is facing foreclosure. The Family Christian Center of Indiana is more than $600,000 in the red, and the First National Bank of Illinois isn't buying the "we're praying as hard as we can" line. This is not the first time the congregation has faced litigation due to mortgage default. In 2011, the Evangelical Christian Credit Union filed a case against them when they fell behind on payments for their worship center. So ask me why a congregation that brings in between $7 and $10 million a year can't pay its bills.
Why can't a congregation that brings in $7 to $10 million a year pay its bills?
Apparently, pay taxes and mortgage on condos owned by the congregation falls lower on the financial priority list than things like first-class travel, executive perks, and jet fuel. To be fair, I think we should state that the Family Christian Center denies allegations that it's flailing in the quicksand of financial ruin brought on by decades of decadent debauchery, but they also claim Jesus is Lord, so they're a dubious source at best.
Do the higher paid clergy justify their salary by getting more people to heaven, or like what are they, how do they?
It'd be interesting to see what that looks like on a P&L.
Well, without that church there now, I guess we can expect the town to erupt into some sort of godless orgy of drugs and violence. I mean, that's natural.
Well, that's what they say, so we'll have more on that orgy and violence as events unfold. In more mountainous news, a Colorado appeals court has upheld the controversial Douglas County initiative that would divert public school funds to religious schools. The Choice Scholarship Pilot Program offers $4,500 vouchers to students that can be used for tuition at private schools. At the time of this recording, 18 of the 23 private schools participating in the program were religious in nature.
Where's this, in Colorado?
Yes, sir.
Are the private schools by any chance located in John Galt's Invisible Valley?
No word on that yet. The ACLU partnered with the religious liberty watchdog group Americans United to politely remind Douglas County that we're still doing the whole Constitution thing, but apparently two of the three judges hearing the appeal disagreed. Judge Steve Bernard, the sole dissenter, said, quote, that the Choice Scholarship Program is a pipeline that violates a direct and clear constitutional command. Not sure what the other two judges were thinking, but my guess is it's something like, look, if we got it right every time, there wouldn't be a state Supreme Court, now would there?
Well, don't the donations from their brainwashed people and their ridiculous tax exemptions have, you know, in this situation with enough money, what they need?
You would think they're not also needing those public school funds to go into their coffers as well.
I'd rather see the tax money going to Hogwarts School of Magic at this point. I mean,
oh, if you thought that was bad, wait till I get to this next one. In even more fucked up news, the Kentucky Senate has revived a bill that would not only allow a Christians-only health insurance provider to operate, but also exempt it entirely from insurance regulations. The bill specifically reverses an earlier ban on the nonprofit, not quite insurance company, MediShare. You see, MediShare is like insurance in that you pay them each month in hopes that when you need medical care, it'll be taken care of or heavily discounted, but unlike insurance, they're not really under any obligation to pay you. Its website describes the service as, quote, a modern-day version of what the church started back in the Book of Acts. I'm not sure what the hell that means, but I assume somewhere in their mission statement there's something about smoothing shit over with the Roman Empire or... In addition to getting away with this crap, the group is also allowed to discriminate against anyone who wants to buy into their sham but isn't willing to lead a, quote, biblical lifestyle.
What else can I get for pretending to believe in Christianity? Seems like the rules of the game in this country are strongly suggesting that even if you're logical, you should pretend to be Christian.
Well, but, you know, then you might get something from your insurance adjuster that says, you know, failure to properly stone your daughter in a timely manner has forced us to deny your claim, you know. Due to the unbiblical miscegenation of your crops, we are unable to reimburse payment at this time. But that's not the only outrageously imprudent bill on the Kentucky House floor. We now turn our attention to House Bill 279, a bill that would allow people to sidestep anti-discrimination laws if their bigotry was based on a sincerely held religious conviction.
We get a lot of our news out of flyover states, you gotta admit.
We've had almost the whole Bible Belt on there. I think we're missing, like, Georgia and South Carolina. Now, never mind how Kentucky legislators intend to legally determine the sincerity of one's convictions, but the law is clearly aimed at helping insulate bigots who want to deny equal access to gays. Bob Dameron, the Democratic sponsor of this bill, offers some hand-waving bullshit about religious freedom, but opponents of the bill point out that its vague language could, quote, give people permission to discriminate based on their religious beliefs, thereby imposing those beliefs on others with legal authority to do so.
Yeah, wouldn't that just clearly legalize things like lynchings, harsh but not too harsh treatment of your personal slaves, gay clubbings, 9/11, that sort of thing?
Well, to be fair, supporters of the bill point out that, quote, we're not going after the kikes or chinks or nothing. This is just about those lesbos and queers.
It sounds like an 8-year-old trying to change the rules of Trivial Pursuit because they're losing. By the way, Trivial Pursuit would be a great Christian rock band name. Anyway. Like, you said the answer was $4.6 billion, and granted, it does say that on the card, but I sincerely believe that the answer is $6,000. One of us is way off.
Now, turning to international news, we land in, just guess where international news is going to land us.
Somewhere in Italy?
You're getting warm. You're getting warm.
Somewhere in Rome?
Yes, you're burning up. You're burning up.
A weird insular country contained by Rome?
Oh, I'm pointing at my nose, but the listeners can't see it.
Schmatican City.
It is. Oh, you were so close. It was Vatican City, where officials now admit to some of the accusations stemming from the wiretapping scandal that stemmed from the Vatileak scandal, that stemmed from the Vatican gay sex blackmail scandal, that stemmed from the papal money laundering scandal, that stemmed from the child rape and torture scandal, that stemmed from the absurd decision to ask grown men not to use their dicks.
I like to call the whole thing Holy Watergate.
Nice, nice. I like it. So let's take that in reverse order, skipping over the dicks. In March of 2012, the Vatican launched a nationwide, citywide investigation in hopes of finding out how the fuck the Pope's personal diary and erotic letters to Jessica Simpson kept winding up on the front page of Italian newspapers. A couple months later, they would discover that the butler did it in the rectory with the lead pipe, but not before the stream of incriminating documents would uncover evidence of bribery, blackmail, money laundering, and a gay sex prostitution ring.
It's funny, because it's true. All the things you just said did happen, and the butler did actually do it. It was his personal butler who...
And it was probably in the rectory,
leaked the
too,
documents
yeah.
to the... I can't have any sympathy for somebody with a personal butler. I'm sorry.
Amen to that. Now, fast forward a year, and the Vatican is finally admitting to at least a few of the allegations around the draconian investigation, saying now that they only tap two or three phones, and they only listen to verbs and prepositions. In other Catholic old gay reality show blooper reel material, Cardinal O'Brien, the former Archbishop of St. Andrews in Edinburgh, has stepped down from amid allegations of sexual abuse and impropriety towards four priests that served under him, both figuratively and literally. O'Brien initially denied allegations, but days later recounted and agreed to step down only weeks before he was scheduled to participate in the conclave that would select the next pope.
Another Catholic rape case. Never saw that coming.
This was not a rape case, though. This was just like sexual impropriety towards other priests. There were no kids involved. So this is pretty lightweight stuff from Cardinal O'Brien, to be honest. What I like about this is when they first asked him, they first brought the allegations to him, he said, no. And then they got specific, and he's like, oh, well, yeah, those priests. I sexually assaulted them, sure.
Maybe they should hold off on articles until a priest who didn't rape kids surfaces. I mean, just like decide what's news and whatever.
Well, speaking of that, in tonight's Water is Wet report, a new study finds that offering criminals a religious doctrine of unconditional forgiveness doesn't deter them from committing more crime. The study, which was published this month in the journal Theoretical Criminology, concludes that presenting inmates with religious doctrine does not reduce criminal behavior and instead may actually exacerbate it. The researchers interviewed 48 inmates and noted a number of elaborate and creative rationalizations that they used to reconcile their religious beliefs with their actions. Can you imagine that, religious people? Elaborate and creative rationalizations? I'm not buying it.
I heard a quote, the author of the study, he notes religion has to be a vehicle rather than a goal, and I just want to, you know, applaud the guy. Like, everybody needs to keep this in mind. It's an extremely important distinction, and most strongly religious people have this backwards.
Well, and there were also some other great quotes in there that were taken from the inmates. I pulled a couple of my favorites. Cool told researchers that he would say a quick prayer before robbing someone to, quote, stay cool with Jesus. Wait, I'm just getting started here. Trigger Man explained, quote, God has to forgive everyone, even if they don't believe in him. So fuck you, God. Young Stunna, this is my favorite, said, see, if you go and rob a motherfucker, and I to be honest, I don't know if he said motherfucker. It just says expletive, so I'm assuming motherfucker. But anyway, he says, if you go and rob a motherfucker, then I'm still going to heaven because it's like, Jesus, no, I ain't have no choice, you know? Did you know I could speak screet like that?
You're fluent in jive. It seems like when you dangle carrots and sticks, like eternal damnation versus eternal bliss, people tend to get a little carried away.
Well, and not only that, but they always seem to feel like they're on the eternal bliss side no matter fucking what.
Is this not one of the many obvious reasons that religion, as it's often manifested now, is clearly destructive?
Right. So the study provides evidence ultimately that A, religion is not an effective deterrent to crime, B, it can be and is used to justify further criminal action, and C, that religious people use bullshit rationalizations to keep their faith from imploding around them. Now, what have we really proven here? We've proven that this is not effective, but when you read the conclusion, that's not at all what they say. You know, you said, you know, religion needs to be a vehicle, not a destination, and that is what they say in the study, but my question is, what are you basing that on? Why does it even need to be a fucking vehicle at this point? You haven't proven that. All you've proven is that it can't be the destination.
Well, I guess it's not that easy for somebody in solitary confinement to appreciate the intelligence with which their universe was designed.
And finally, tonight, American Atheists have a new billboard campaign out to promote the American Atheists 50th anniversary convention in Austin. So if you see a bunch of Republican faces with really stupid quotes coming out of them, well, you might be watching Fox News or you might be looking at their newest ads. They're really phenomenal. I'd suggest you take a look at them. David Silverman really knows how to get that press working for him. He does a great job. And, of course, we'll be talking a little bit more about the convention a little later on in the show.
It's about time the Jewish media conspiracy got on the right side, I think. Helped out. So what would your atheist billboard slogan say?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I don't think you'd want my atheist billboard slogan out there. I think it would probably just be a string of profanities.
Gotcha. I was thinking, like, depending on the area, you know, it could be, what a waste if the Jews turn out to be right, or, like, what a waste if the Muslims turn out to be right, you know.
I think you could definitely get some press out of that last one, yeah.
Maybe atheists do it with adults, or... God made atheists right for a reason that could confuse people.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of layers going on there.
What about, you know, maybe a women's issue? Please remove your Bible from my vagina. I think that would get the point across.
Well, and with whatever the picture is on that billboard would definitely grab attention.
Yeah, maybe the evolution will not be televised. Be a good one.
How many of these do you have?
I'm just coming up with these on the spot, obviously.
Oh, of course.
And the last one that I'm going to come up with on the spot, what about just Google Occam's razor? You know, I'd like people to just do that. So Google Occam's razor in Texas.
That might just become the tagline for this show, actually, now that you mention it. All right, well, Heath, thank you so much for joining me.
Glad to be here, as always.
And when we come back, we're going to drool about all the fun to be had in Austin.
Meanwhile, in heaven...
And not one of those motherfuckers thanked me. Watch and see. None of them are ever going to win an Oscar again. I'll DiCaprio the lot of them.
Uh-oh, the God of Tron.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Looks like Maybelline Pulaski lost her keys again. See what you can do.
Got it.
You know which one really irks me? Ang Lee. That jackass loads his movie with Christian themes. I go to the limits of my omnipotence to get a Best Director award to a guy who...
Wait, there's more coming through.
Damn it, now I've lost my train of thought.
Oh man, this is bad. A volcano's about to erupt and kill hundreds of malnourished islanders. We gotta do something.
We're still looking for those keys, Gabriel.
But God!
One thing at a time, Gabe. I can't do everything at once.
Well, actually you can, sir.
Nobody asked you, Uriel.
It's just that you're omnipotent, sir. You could...
How many times do I have to tell you guys? I work in mysterious ways.
You work at all.
What was that?
Nothing.
God, the volcano.
Oh, Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah.
Have you found those keys yet?
Did you ask her where she had them last?
If she knew that, they wouldn't be lost, now would they, Jesus?
Still looking.
Oh, yeah, Ang Lee, that's right. Think about it, this guy's pointing a camera at a green screen for a couple of weeks, and somehow I managed to miracle him into a Best Director, and what? For what? Doesn't anybody know that I've got Oscars to bitch about here?
It's just messages.
Found them.
Finally.
Oh, wait, those were earrings.
You want those messages, God?
Fine, Gabriel.
Well, Lucifer says he's still really, really sorry and promises never to do it again if you let him back into heaven.
Yeah.
Mary called again, but I deleted the message like you asked.
Women.
Oh, and Noah's making one of those podcasts you hate so much again.
What, Ark Noah?
No. The Noah Illusions? The scathing atheist? He's the one that,
The one that called you a shit porn.
Oh, and he's making another one of those? Damn it, where'd I put my brimstone?
Oh, like you're really gonna smite him?
I could smite him. You guys all seem to think I've gone soft, but I can still smite. You're talking about the guy who took out Sodom and Gomorrah
and flooded the whole world.
Enough. Jesus, what are you doing? Did you find those keys yet?
She found some old photo album and forgot what she was looking for. No, what's this about a volcano?
It's too late.
Never mind.
It's time for the Atheist Calendar portion of the show. With the atheist community all abuzz about the American Atheists' 50th anniversary convention in Austin, I figured we'd devote the whole calendar this fortnight to all the fun and excitement happening over Easter weekend. The bulk of the festivities will begin on the 29th, but registration opens at 5 o'clock on the 28th. There's also a Dinner with the Stars fundraising event. For an additional $250, you can attend a dinner and auction with luminaries like Matt Dillahunty, Greta Christina, Pete Stark, David Silverman, and more. But the real fireworks will start on Friday, with talks beginning at 9:30 a.m. and running through the day. David Silverman will kick things off, but the list of speakers for the day is loaded, all culminating in a music and a comedy show featuring Graydon Square, Blair Scott, and Keith Lowell. Saturday has a hell of a lineup as well. It starts with a parenting and atheism panel and continues with an exciting series of speakers throughout the day, plus additional panels like Atheism versus Humanism and Women in Atheism. And unlike congressional hearings, this panel on women will have women on it. And while the rest of the country is looking for pastel-colored Jesus bunny eggs, we'll be treated to a Sunday sermon by none other than Jerry DeWitt. He'll be followed by friend of the show Hemant Mehta and a bunch of other notables, including but not limited to Seth Andrews, Edwin Kagan, and, of course, the keynote address by A.C. Grayling. Should be a ton of fun, and as of this recording, tickets are still available. I hope to be attending as well. There won't be a scathing atheist meetup, but I'll be easy to find. I'll be the tall, thin, handsome guy standing next to me. For a full and up-to-date schedule of speakers and events, check the show notes for this episode. As always, if you're involved with an atheist, skeptical, or secular event that needs a little free publicity, drop me a line. You'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. Couple of quick emails to respond to before we close things out for the night. The first one comes from Ellen in Texas. She appreciated the takedown of Peggy Drexler's op-ed in Episode 3, but she pointed out that I tragically overlooked the dumbest sentence in the whole article, one where she clearly inverts the order on the Javon Belcher murder-suicide, posing it instead as a chronologically perplexing suicide-murder. I'm ashamed to have missed a perfectly good closing joke there. I also wanted to respond to a miserable jackass who identifies himself or herself as Potbelly and leaves the following nugget of brain poop in my inbox. It doesn't take much to see who's right and wrong in the religious debate. When you hear Christians speak, they talk about charity, love, and universal kinship. And when you hear atheists talk, they're just calling other people motherfuckers. Noah could take a cue from the Christians if he took a second to stop degrading them. Well, Potbelly, I have three issues with that email. First of all, you don't capitalize the A in atheist. I appreciate the effort, but we're not disciples of Athea the Wise or anything. Secondly, I never called anyone a motherfucker on this show. I've called people things that are just as bad or worse, but I've never actually referred to anyone as a motherfucker, so clearly you're not paying attention, you motherfucker. And finally, I'm sorry that I didn't think to take a cue from all those Christians I'm constantly degrading. Luckily, I've got a montage of crazy YouTube preachers on hand to help me set the tone with some of that charity, love, and universal kinship you were talking about.
Today's sermon is entitled, Most People Are Going to Hell.
You're a guilty, abominable, wicked, hellish sinner.
You could die before the sun goes down. Your body be lying dead in the morgue down here somewhere.
AIDS is the judgment of God on a wicked and lascivious world.
Amen. You're so deeply offensive to God that it is right to throw you into hell.
The zombie apocalypse is taking over. Cannibalistic demon expression. What's going on in this country?
Okay, I don't know that much about it. From what I've seen, it's satanic. Amen. The Twilight series. And by the way, anything that everybody in the world loves so much that's a bestseller, it's probably satanic. Amen. Look at Harry Potter.
And with that note of unconditional love and brotherhood, I think we can safely ignore assholes like Potbelly. That'll do it for the show this fortnight, but if you want more, there's more. Carl and Ben over at the Post-Rapture Looting Podcast made the mistake of inviting Heath and I on to chat with them a few nights ago. The interview should be available on their feed on Saturday the 16th of March. Check out postraptureluting.net or keep an eye on our website as we'll be posting a link as soon as it's available. I want to thank the truly friendly atheist Hemant Mehta for providing the Farnsworth quote for this episode. In addition to being a superbly awesome nice guy who gives people audio clips for no reason except his inherent sense of goodness, he also runs the closest thing on the internet to a one-stop shop for atheist news stories. You can find him along with a host of other great atheist blogs at patheos.com. We'll have a link on the show notes, of course. I also want to thank Jay, Santi, and my partner in crime, Heath Enright, for helping us with the skit and the headlines tonight. But most of all, I want to thank you for giving me 30 minutes of your life. We'll be working really hard to earn 30 minutes again next time. If you enjoy the show, please help us spread the word by leaving us a good review on iTunes or Stitcher. And yes, we're now on Stitcher, so listen to us there. If you don't have the Stitcher app, go to iTunes, get the Stitcher app, because you're not a fucking Flintstone, are you? iTunes? Come on, man. That's where the Neanderthals got their podcasts. It's all about Stitcher now. Get on it. We'll be back in 2 weeks with co-host of Reasonable Doubt's Justin Schieber for a discussion on the merits and techniques of publicly debating theists. Until then, you can find more on our blog at scathingatheist.com, including links to all the headlines and events discussed in this episode. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by yours truly, and yes, I did have my permission.
started, what better to grease the wheels of an atheist podcast than some Lagavulin 16-year-old single malt scotch whiskey? Right here. I'm going to pour myself a glass.
Just one glass?
One to start. Cheers.